Chapter 22. Chaz trudged back up the road, tired, sweaty, and thirsty. He hadn't slept well due to his lute making a lousy pillow, and his mouth still felt funky from not having brushed his teeth. He wanted a shower and a toothbrush, or at least a shot of hard liquor to swish around in his mouth. What he didn't want was to be walking alone on Certain Death Boulevard with nothing to protect himself with but a lute and a sword that was about as intimidating as a dry stick of spaghetti. He strummed his lute, trying not to think about what kind of terrible creatures lurked in the woods to either side of him, just waiting to jump out and eviscerate him. He knew there was at least one owlbear, whatever the fuck that was, roaming the wilderness, no doubt pissed off by its sudden inability to scratch its nuts. Judging by the size of those arms, it probably wouldn't need them to kick his ass. The woods were quiet. The first sound Chaz heard, aside from the strings of his lute, came not from his right or left, but from behind him. Chaz turned around. A wagon was approaching, pulled by two white horses. With a little charm and a little luck, he might be able to get himself a ride into town. Or he might get raped, or murdered, or both. After pausing to think about the owlbear with no arms and itchy balls, he decided to take his chances.
"Good day, gentlemen,"
Chaz shouted as soon as he judged the two drivers to be within shouting distance. They wore uniform armor, Kingsguard. That's good. Kingsguard were responsible for keeping order and upholding the king's good reputation. They probably didn't rape and murder innocent civilians. He looked up and down the otherwise empty road. At least, not while anyone was there to witness it.
"Get out of the way!"
the soldier on the right shouted back at him. In a way, that was comforting. Chaz felt that he could now exclude rape as a probable outcome of this encounter. Still, getting a ride seemed like an equally unlikely prospect. Fortunately, he had a backup plan. He stepped aside, allowing the wagon to go on its way if that's what the drivers decided. He strummed on his lute and began singing the theme song to the Golden Girls, which was the only song about friendship which came to mind on such short notice.
"Stop the wagon!"
demanded the soldier on the left. The horses stopped, and the two soldiers smiled as Chaz continued to play through to the end of the song.
"That was a lovely song, wasn't it, Gareth?"
"Indeed it was, sir,"
responded the soldier, holding the horse's reins.
"Melted my heart, it did."
The superior officer leaned down and smiled at Chaz.
"Did you really mean it? Would the biggest gift indeed be from you?"
"Absolutely."
Chaz couldn't believe how hard these two guys fell under his spell. Maybe Bard wasn't such a shit class after all. In the wrong hands, this kind of influence could topple kingdoms.
"And what may we do for you, dear friend?"
"I could really use a lift into town."
"What do you think, Gareth? Do we have enough room in the back?"
"Always room for one more, sir."
Chaz was a little confused.
"One more? I'll need you to surrender your weapon."
"Of course,"
said Chaz, hurrying to unbuckle his sword. He handed it up to the officer in charge while the other soldier, Gareth, climbed down.
"Do you really need my loot as well?"
"The gods forbid," cried the officer. "What better way to break the tedium of travel than with a string of delightful songs?"
Chaz took that to mean they'd expect him to play nonstop all the way to Cardinia. Still, it was better than walking. Grinding chains crunched from on top of the wagon's roof as Gareth used both hands to turn a large crank on the side. As he did so, the back of the wagon opened up from the top outward, like the bow ramp of a Higgins boat, suspended on a chain at each of the top corners.
"What are you guys carrying in here?"
Chaz shouted over the loud crunch of chain against chain.
"Turnips? Potatoes? Melons?"
He really hoped it wasn't manure. The soldier grinned in a way that made the hair on the back of Chaz's neck stand up.
"Rhymes with melons?"
Chaz couldn't think of words offhand that rhymed with melons. Ellens? Helens? Magellans? As the door descended further, shedding light into the shadowy interior of the wagon, Chaz saw chains feeding up into the ceiling. At the end of the chains were manacles. In the manacles were wrists. The door slowly kept lowering, and the wrists gave way to arms, then to curious, filthy faces all staring at Chaz. There was an orc with a chest full of scars and a steel prosthetic right leg, a goblin holding a thick tuft of coarse brown hair in one of his raised hands, and a curious-looking half-elf with charcoal gray skin and a wild mop of hair that might have been white if it were clean. All were standing with their arms raised as high as they would go.
"Felons,"
said Chaz, when the top of the door touched the road and the chains stopped crunching. And there was rape back on the table.
"That was a good one, Cappy,"
said the half-elf.
I was going to guess bellins.
This provoked suppressed giggles from his fellow convicts.
It's a near rhyme.
The soldier did not look amused.
You bunch of bellins won't be laughing tomorrow when your bodies are fed to the pigs.
I expect not, sir, but do warn your wife not to choke on my bellend again. It's bigger than what she's used to.
The giggles that followed this time were not suppressed in the least. The soldier's face smoldered as he grabbed the hilt of his sword. After a few deep breaths, he relaxed, no doubt imagining the lunatic with a premature death wish swinging at the end of a rope the next morning. He looked at Chaz and smiled pleasantly.
Come on, then. In you go.
Chaz wasn't fooled for a second by the invitational tone in his voice. Still, he had to make at least a perfunctory effort to get out of this.
You know what? I don't want to trouble you. I think I'll just walk after all.
He took a step back and into the breastplate of the other guard, Gareth, who'd come around to flank him.
Fuck. I believe Captain Reynolds just told you to get in the wagon.
Good news, gentlemen, said Captain Reynolds. You'll make the last leg of your last journey with music.
He turned to Chaz.
Don't be shy. They won't bite. Well, the little gobbler might. He's in here for eating his mother.
Chaz looked back at the goblin. The goblin grinned back at him, baring teeth which were filed to points.
She had ripe melons.
Making a mental note never again to attempt using his crappy first-level spells on the king's soldiers for the purpose of laziness, Chaz slumped up the ramp and took the empty spot on the bench next to the orc, hoping that he was in for something like tax evasion. The inside of the wagon stank something fierce. Who knows how many condemned men had soiled themselves on the way to the gallows in here. But it was nothing compared to trying to extract the last remnants of oxygen out of the fart cloud Cooper had left in the bag of holding while waiting for someone to remember that Chaz was still in there.
Play loud, said Captain Reynolds, so we can hear you up front.
He stood with his hand casually resting on the hilt of his sword while Gareth went back around to crank the door closed again. He seemed to know that Chaz was waiting for an opportunity to jump up and bolt out of there and seemed to be hoping he'd try. As the chains lifted the top of the door, the chains inside the wagon, connected to the prisoner's manacles, slowly allowed them to lower their arms. As loud as those chains had sounded outside, they were even louder inside the wagon. By the time the door finally closed, cutting off Chaz's only hope of escape, everyone around him was sitting down on their benches. The crunching sound was still ringing in his ears when the wagon jerked forward. When the wagon had achieved its cruising speed, someone banged on the wall from the outside.
I don't hear any music!
Play something, said the dark half-elf. Keep it instrumental if you can. I need to think.
Chaz nodded. With certain death waiting for him in Cardinia, the only thing this guy had to think about was escape, and that suited Chaz just fine. He started plucking and strumming.
What is that style of music? Asked the half-elf. I've never heard anything like it.
Surf rock, said Chaz.
The half-elf looked like he was about to inquire further, but shook his head and steepled his fingers, his eyes focused on a point of empty space between himself and Chaz. Chaz continued playing, hoping to see some hint of inspiration on the half-elf's face. The half-elf nodded slowly, like a plan was brewing in his mind. His gaze flickered almost imperceptibly quickly toward the orc and back, then slowly down to the goblin on his left, who was snacking on the hair in his hand like it was cotton candy. Finally, he leaned in close to Chaz.
Whatever happens, whatever you see, do not stop playing. Do you understand?
Chaz nodded. It sounded like some serious shit was about to go down, but he was in the unusually fortunate position of standing between two violently opposing parties who wanted exactly the same thing from him. He'd pluck that lute until his fingers wore down to bloody nubs if he had to.
What's going on?
Demanded the orc. Perhaps the half-elf's glance hadn't been as imperceptible as Chaz had thought.
Easy, big guy, said the half-elf.
He reached his foot back under his bench as far as it would go and rolled out a quarterstaff similar to the one Julian always carried around. He grinned up at the orc.
We're busting out of here.
The orc smiled broadly, exposing a mouthful of cavity-riddled teeth and tusks.
What can I do?
I need you to look outside, said the half-elf. Alert me when we pass a tree with a bright blue stripe painted down the trunk.
The orc nodded.
I'm on it.
He lowered himself awkwardly from the bench to the floor with his good leg and peered through the bars below the paneling. The half-elf cleared his throat.
Ahem! I'll need what's left of the dwarf's beard as well.
He reached cautiously for the hair clutched tightly in the goblin's hand. To absolutely no one's surprise, least of all the half-elves, the crazy hair-munching goblin snarled and hissed as he jerked his hand away.
Come on now, said the half-elf. Think of all the people you can eat on the outside. Think about Captain Reynolds.
The goblin gave it some thought, then reluctantly opened his hand. The half-elf took the tuft of hair and started working at it with his hands, bunching it together and aligning the ends on one side. He leaned toward the goblin.
And if you wouldn't mind snipping off a small lock of my own hair, just a few strands will do. Don't eat them.
The goblin obliged, his wide open mouth next to the half-elf's head, like he was about to bite into his skull. He took a few strands of gray-white hair as close to the scalp as he could, held them taut, and yanked one of his sharpened teeth through them. The half-elf winced.
Thank you.
He sat up and rubbed his head where the goblin had bitten his hair off. He wound his own long and thin strands of hair around the top of the bundle of much coarser dwarf hair. The end result looked like an old-timey fingerprint duster.
Perfect.
Chaz was beginning to lose the flicker of hope he'd had in this plan. The half-elf got down on the floor, looking through the bars of his own side of the wagon. After examining both ends of the quarterstaff he'd had hidden under his bench, he seemed to favor the bottom end, which he passed slowly and carefully through the bars. Chaz's fingertips were getting sore from continuous and intense lute playing, but he continued plucking those strings, forcing himself to ignore the pain by trying to figure out what the hell the half-elf was up to. Occasionally, the half-elf would pull the bottom of the staff back into the wagon and examine the end, but Chaz couldn't think of what he might be looking for. It wasn't until the fourth such occurrence that Chaz noticed a difference. The bottom of the quarterstaff was getting progressively thinner. The half-elf was grinding it to a point on the edge of the wagon wheel. It was a clever display of ingenuity, but Chaz still didn't see how it was going to help them escape. Even if they managed to catch the soldiers by surprise when the door opened, the chains would raise everyone's arms, leaving them all incapable of wielding a makeshift spear. Chaz gulped, all of them, that is, except for him. That was this crazy half-elf's plan? For Chaz to single-handedly dispatch two armored Kingsguard with a sharpened stick? Chaz's feelings must have been written all over his face. The next time the half-elf examined his spear tip, he glanced up at Chaz.
What troubles you, bard?
Chaz thought it best to get his thoughts out in the open so that maybe the half-elf could put his cleverness to work on a better plan.
This plan isn't going to work.
How can you say that?
Asked the half-elf, only peripherally paying any attention to Chaz, most of his concentration still focused on further sharpening his spear.
You don't even know what it is.
I figured it out.
Did you now?
The half-elf smiled to himself as he slowly rotated the quarterstaff between his fingers.
I can't do what you need me to do.
The half-elf pulled in his staff. The bottom wasn't a conical point as Chaz was expecting. It was narrow and pointed, like a hypodermic needle at the end of the plunger, or like one of those sticks people use to pick up trash on the side of the road. He looked at his work with a satisfactory nod, then up at Chaz.
You're already doing what I need you to do. Just keep doing it.
He looked down at the orc, still peering through the bars.
Have you seen anything yet?
The orc grunted. He looked terribly uncomfortable.
Lots of fucking trees out there.
He grumbled.
None with a blue stripe.
Of course not, said the half-elf. I made that up.
The orc turned around.
You what?
The half-elf plunged the pointy end of his staff into the orc's right eye. The orc struggled for a few seconds. The half-elf had the advantage of surprise, elevation, and two legs. He twisted the staff and pushed it in even further until the orc finally stopped moving.
What's the matter, bard? Said the half-elf. You look rather surprised for someone so intimately knowledgeable of my plan.
Chaz just continued to gawk, his fingers strumming on autopilot now.
Push him this way, said the goblin. I want his hair.
The half-elf shook his head.
You can have all the hair you want once we're free. I need him to stay on this side of the wagon.
As if the orc wasn't quite dead enough for him, he gripped the staff with both hands and shoved it in just a little harder, then pushed it forward until the pointy part snapped off. Chaz missed a note, making it sound like the lute was reacting to the grisly scene. The half-elf wasn't yet finished molesting this orc's eye socket, it seemed. He took a knee and plunged two fingers in. That was more than Chaz could handle. He stopped playing.
Bard! Snapped the half-elf. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Asked Chaz.
What the hell are you doing?
Clunk, clunk, clunk. Someone was banging on the front wall again.
I don't hear any music!
The half-elf pulled the broken spear tip out of the orc's eye socket and looked up at Chaz.
I'm getting us out of here. Now play your song.
Chaz nodded and picked up his instrumental surf rock just where he'd left off. The half-elf wiped off some of the blood and eye goo from the spear tip on his pants, then picked up the bundled dwarf hair. He carefully inserted the pointy end of the spear tip into the wide end of the hair bundle. His fingerprint duster now had a handle. Satisfied with the miniature broom he'd created, but apparently unsatisfied with the amount of mutilation he'd performed on the orc he'd brutally murdered, he knelt down and removed the orc's prosthetic leg. After separating it into component parts, he discarded the foot and the part that fit over the stump, but kept the shaft, a foot-long steel pipe.
"Is this part of your plan?"
asked Chaz.
"Or do you just really not like him?"
The half-elf peered through the bars for a moment, then stood up.
"Now's the time! We only get one shot at this. Are you ready?"
He inserted the tiny broom into the metal pipe. Finally, something made a little sense to Chaz.
"A blowgun!"
"You catch on quick, Bard," said the half-elf. "Are you ready for your next assignment?"
"You want to request a song?"
The half-elf closed his eyes and shook his head.
"No, I don't want to request a song."
He bent down and slid what remained of the quarterstaff across the wagon floor to Chaz.
"When I tell you to, you're going to shove this stick through the bars and into the wheel spokes."
"Okay."
Chaz tried to rethink the half-elf's plan. They stopped the wagon and get the soldiers to open the back door. The chains would still force the half-elf's hands up, so he'd have to keep the loaded blowgun in his mouth. It still seemed so far-fetched. He might get lucky and kill one of them, although Chaz deemed even that to be highly unlikely. What about the other one? Was he hoping they'd line up and he could blow the dart straight through the first guy's head? Again, he felt compelled to raise an objection.
"I don't get how you mean to take down two armed soldiers with a homemade dart," said Chaz. "Maybe you should think about this a little more."
"Maybe you should shut up and do what you're told."
Chaz looked down at the dead orc.
"Okay."
The half-elf lay down on his stomach and looked forward through the bars.
"It's time, Bard. Put down your loot and get on the floor. Remember to wait for my word."
Chaz did as he was told, nervously setting his loot on the bench. He lay down parallel to the half-elf and held the quarterstaff with shaking hands. On his left, he could see the wheel spokes turning clockwise at a leisurely rate. Ahead of him, he could only see a horse's ass and a bit of forest beyond. The road must be getting ready to veer right. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Captain Reynolds was banging on the wall again.
"I didn't tell you to stop playing, Bard. If I have to stop this wagon, you'll be..."
The wagon jerked forward as a horse screamed in pain. The wagon was moving faster.
"Julian?"
said Chaz. The half-elf sprung to his feet, jumped onto the bars at the top of the wagon, and bunched his body up as close to the ceiling as he could.
"Be ready, Bard!"
"Stop, you crazy animals!" cried Captain Reynolds. "Gareth, grab the reins!"
The wagon rumbled along the road, leaning left as the horses veered right. Chaz held the staff and got ready to shove it as hard as he could into the wheel spokes. They weren't trying to stop the wagon. They were trying to flip it.
"Now, Bard!" said the half-elf. "Now!"
Chaz shoved with all of his might. His world jerked, spun around, and finally crashed. When it was finished, he decided that it probably hadn't been as dramatic as it felt like while it was happening. They hadn't flipped the wagon, so much as tipped it over. The cage hadn't broken open, if that's what the half-elf had been hoping for, but there did seem to be a lot more chains spilled all over the place. The crank mechanism that controlled the back door and the prisoner's arms must have busted. When he felt more orientated, he looked up to see the half-elf strangling the goblin to death with a length of chain and slamming his face down into the side paneling. His second murder of the hour complete, the half-elf turned to Chaz, then sprung toward him like a pouncing cat.
"Shit!"
screamed Chaz, curling into a ball and raising his arms over his face. After a few seconds of not being murdered, Chaz peeked out from behind his arms. The half-elf hadn't been after him. He was holding Chaz's loot by the neck, waiting at the back door. The half-elf kept his ear to the door for a moment, then pulled back and kicked it open. The chains offered no resistance, but the door stopped suddenly after only having opened about 2 feet wide.
"Ow!" shouted Gareth. "My face!"
The half-elf continued listening at the door, nodding slowly. When the time was right, he smashed the business end of Chaz's loot over the head of Captain Reynolds, who never saw it coming. He pulled the loot into the wagon, where Captain Reynolds dropped in a heap at Chaz's feet. He repeated the move when Gareth stumbled into view. He armed himself with the captain's sword and rooted around under the captain's cloak until he produced a ring of keys. After unlocking the manacles on his own wrists, the half-elf tossed the keys to Chaz.
"Chain them up!"
"You are going to kill them?"
asked Chaz, trying not to sound like he was encouraging the idea.
"Of course not," said the half-elf. "Why would I?"
"You didn't seem to have any qualms about killing the orc and the goblin."
"They were in for rape and murder. It would have been irresponsible to set them loose."
And what are you in for?
The half-elf smiled, handing over Chaz's destroyed loot.
Remember what I said about Captain Reynolds' wife?
Chaz looked up from his loot.
You were serious about that? You fucked his wife?
He caught us in the act, the half-elf sighed, but it was worth it.
You called her a pig.
She is a pig. Sometimes.
I don't understand what you mean.
The half-elf smiled again, like he was being deliberately obtuse, and was finally tired of the joke.
She's a werebore. I have what you might call an unconventional sexual appetite.
His eyes glazed over like he was lost in a pleasant memory.
She was in hybrid form at the time. You've never heard a woman squeal like that.
That's so disturbing.
We need to go before they wake up. We can't let them know which way we've gone.
Does that mean you're not headed into town?
Asked Chaz. He'd hoped to be able to make the rest of his trip in the company of such a capable fighter.
We're absolutely headed into town, said the half-elf. Cardinia's where the women are. It's too risky to travel by road, but there are other ways to breach the city walls.
Such as?
Such as shutting up and doing what you're told. Now let's go.
Chaz lowered his head.
Okay.